all left him alone. To be alone was his desire, for he feared the evil he might do or say unwittingly. Neither Vetch nor Jasper was there, and he did not ask about them. The boys he had led and lorded over were all ahead of him now, because of the months he had lost. And that spring and summer he studied with lads younger than himself. Nor did he shine among them, for the words of any spell, even the simplest illusion charm, came halting from his tongue, and his hands faltered at their craft. In autumn he was to go once again to the Isola Tower to study with the master Namer. This task, which he had once dreaded, now pleased him, for silence was what he sought, and long learning where no spells were wrought, and where that power which he knew was still in him would never be called upon to act. The night before he left for the tower, a visitor came to his room, one wearing a brown traveling cloak and carrying a staff of oak shod with iron. Ged stood up at sight of the wizard's staff.
"Sparrowhawk!"
At the sound of the voice, Ged raised his eyes. It was Vetch standing there, solid and foursquare as ever, his black, blunt face older, but his smile unchanged. On his shoulder crouched a little beast, brindle-furred and bright-eyed.
"He stayed with me while you were sick, and now I'm sorry to part with him, and sorrier to part with you, Sparrowhawk. But I'm going home. Here, Hoag, go to your true master."
Vetch patted the otak and set it on the floor. It went and sat on Ged's pallet, and began to wash its fur with a dry brown tongue like a little leaf. Vetch laughed, but Ged could not smile. He bent to hide his face, stroking the otak.
"I thought you wouldn't come to me, Vetch," he said. He didn't mean any reproach, but Vetch answered,
"I couldn't come to you. The Master Herbal forbade me, and since winter I've been with the Master in the Grove, locked up myself. I was not free until I earned my staff. Listen, when you two are free, come to the East Reach. I will be waiting for you. There's good cheer in the little towns there, and wizards are well received."
"Free," Ged muttered and shrugged a little, trying to smile.
Vetch looked at him, not quite as he had used to look, with no less love but more wizardry, perhaps, and he said gently,
"You won't stay bound on Roke forever."
"Well, I have thought perhaps I may come to work with the Master in the Tower, to be one of those who seek among the books and the stars for lost names, and so do no more harm, if not much good."
"Well, maybe. I am no seer, but I see before you not rooms and books, but far seas, and the fire of dragons, and the towers of cities, and all such things a hawk sees when he flies far and high.
And behind me? What do you see behind me?"
Ged asked, and stood up as he spoke, so that the ware-light that burned overhead between them sent his shadow back against the wall and floor. Then he turned his face aside and said, stammering,
But tell me where you will go, and what you will do."
"I will go home, to see my brothers and the sister you have heard me speak of. I left her a little child, and soon she'll be having her naming. It's strange to think of, and so I'll find me a job of wizardry somewhere among the Little Isles. Oh, I would stay and talk with you, but I can't. My ship goes out tonight, and the tide has turned already. Sparrowhawk, if ever your way lies east, come to me. And if ever you need me, send for me. Call on me by my name, Istariol."
At that, Ged lifted his scarred face, meeting his friend's eyes.
"Istariol," he said. "My name is Ged."
And then, quietly, they bade each other farewell, and Vetch turned and went down the stone hallway and left Roke. Ged stood a while, like one who has received great news and must enlarge his spirit to receive it. It was a great gift that Vetch had given him, the knowledge of his true name. No one knows a man's true name but himself and his namer. He may choose at length to tell it to his brother or his wife or his friend, yet even those few will never use it where any third person may hear it.
In front of other people, they will, like other people, call him by his ewe's name, his nickname, such a name as Sparrowhawk and Vetch and Ogion, which means fir cone. If plain men hide their true name from all but a few they love and trust utterly, so much more must wizardly men, being more dangerous and more endangered. Who knows a man's name holds that man's life in his keeping. Thus, to Ged, who had lost faith in himself, Vetch had given that gift only a friend can give, the proof of unshaken, unshakable trust. Ged sat down on his pallet and let the globe of werelight die, giving off, as it faded, a faint whiff of marsh gas. He petted the Otak, which stretched comfortably and went to sleep on his knee as if it had never slept anywhere else, and the great house was silent. It came to Ged's mind that this was the eve of his own passage, the day on which Ogion had given him his name. 4 years were gone since then. He remembered the coldness of the mountain spring through which he had walked naked and unnamed, and he fell to thinking of other bright pools in the river Ar, where he had used to swim, and of Ten Alders' village under the great slanting forests of the mountain, of the shadows of morning across the dusty village street, the fire leaping under bellows blast in the smith's smelting pit on a winter afternoon, the witch's dark, fragrant hut where the air was heavy with smoke and wreathing spells. He had not thought of these things for a long time. Now they came back to him on this night. On this night he was 17 years old. All the years and places of his brief, broken life came within mind's reach and made a whole again. He knew once more, at last, after this long, bitter, wasted time, who he was and where he was. But where he must go in the years to come, that he could not see. And he feared to see it.